But anyway, this morning, if you turn your Bibles to a very, very familiar passage, all of you know this particular passage. If I can get my notes up here. Book of Luke. Book of Luke. Luke 16. I'll go ahead and read. You just follow along. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked at his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being tormented, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that there which would be passed from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, this morning I pray that you would help me to deliver this message in a way you would help me to do so. And Father, I toss and toil with as to what to bring forth so that people would benefit. But you seem to have me fix myself upon this particular passage. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have free course in this building this morning. And I pray that you would open up the ears and you would open up the hearts and receive this word of God this morning, that lives will be changed for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be seated. Now, as you know, as I've said, that it is a very familiar passage to all of us. And the as I listened to Brother Mike this morning, and he was teaching Sunday school, and he gave his testimony, and I cannot identify with a lot of what he has said this morning. Although that I was not into alcohol or drugs, but nevertheless I was around all those people that did that. And after I got saved right away, I took to it. I couldn't get enough of this, God's word. I just could not get enough. Then right away, I was introduced to going soul winning from the pastor that pastors the church, the church that I got saved out of. And, the moment I got saved, From the time forward, prior to that, I would have duty magazines laying about. Here's my two oldest one at that time. We're running around. I thought, hey, what's wrong with it? After I got saved, I promised God that there's no way I'm going to deprive my kids from this. Things changed. Things changed. And hell is a place that you would not want even your enemy to go to. You see, Noah preached judgment. The world didn't believe him, but flood came anyways. Lot preached judgment also. They didn't believe him, but God rained hell out of heaven and destroyed Sodom anyway. Yes. Hell is a place scoffers make light of it and poke fun at. Hell is a place so-called educated and non-religious people tries to make it out to be a place where all kinds of fun things are taking place. How often have I gone to knock on a door or talk to co-workers at workplaces? They had mentioned to me just the exact same thing that I've said this. That, oh man, my buddy and all of us, we're gonna go to hell one day. We're gonna have a big old party. I've heard that time and time and time and time and time and time. Whether man, believe it or not, the Lord Jesus talked about a place of eternal torment and warned us against going there. Here in Mark chapter 9, in verse 43, this says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. And he'll continue in 45, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter hell into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. And he says, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with that one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. And hell is a place where the fire is never quenched.
That's right.
Jesus warned us against it. You know, there are people that believe that they're going to have a party in hell. But let me tell you something this morning. Hell is a place of utter darkness. Here in Matthew 25:30, it says this, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and a gnashing of the teeth. Outer darkness. How are you going to get together with your buddies in the total darkness? I had to disappoint you, but you're not. And furthermore, the hell is a place of eternal torment and anguish and continual suffering. Here you'll find that in Revelation chapter 14, verse 10, it says, same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in a cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel, in the presence of the Lamb. And verse 11 says, and a smoke of the torment ascendeth up forever and ever. That's forever and ever. And furthermore, it says, and they have no rest day nor night. Excuse me. Once you go to hell, you'll be tormented day and night without a rest, in utter anguish, crying out, someone help me. Someone do something, help me. But then it is too late. You know, Jesus gave account of this rich man who ended up in hell. You know, as to how long he has been in hell when Jesus gave account of this rich man. But obviously, this rich man was already in hell, because here's Jesus, giving us account. And I do not know how long, but I do know this. He's been in hell for 2,000 years at least, because it's been 2,000 years since Jesus ascended to heaven. And this man is going to suffer eternity. You know, 2,000 years, it's not even a drop in a bucket when you compare it to eternity. Nothing. Now, question comes. Why did this this, you know, man ended up in hell? Is that because he was rich? I don't think so, because, you know, I know some people that are rich and they are going to hell. One of them, Brother Anderson.
Yes.
He gave over $30 million to the cause of Christ. Now, don't tell me that man's going to hell. He's going to heaven by testimony alone. Whether he gave anything or not, by testimony alone.
That's right.
Okay? And I know some people. Brother Evan Harwell. Today, he's retired. He's retired from Ford Motor Company. He was a plant manager for the Ford Motor Company. He's well-to-do. And he was a bus driver when I was a bus captain. Good man. And I know he's going to heaven. He's well-to-do. Brother Gian Gasparato. Very eccentric. I mean, if you see him, you would have thought, who is this guy? You know, driving down, all beaten down. At that time, I think I saw him driving a Pontiac, I think it was. And showing up in a 50s suit. But later on, I found out that he's got several apartment buildings and several businesses throughout the Detroit area. Multimillionaire. You'd have never known it. And him, again, he got involved giving quite a bit of money to the church, doing things, doing that. He was rich. Again, by his testimony alone, he's going to heaven. I know that. Then there's a brother Mike Stoltenberg. Brother Mike. I never knew who he was until one day went going soul winning with him. Again, there's another man that who is well-to-do. You would have never known it. At that time, he was driving Ford Zephyr. Is it? Yeah, Zephyr. I mean, it's not a fancy car. And he lived in an apartment. He wasn't married. One bedroom apartment. And he's a doctor, a leading cancer research doctor in Detroit. Again, he got out knocking on doors, getting involved. And he helped quite a lot of young people that who went to college, Bible college, that is, not just any college. When he found out that certain individual young lady going to Bible college, he paid for the first year. Again, by his testimony, I know that he's going to heaven. And here is one other thing that God points out. He was rich. In verse 19, it says he was rich. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. His barns were full, without a doubt, and his stocks were doing fine. Had nice clothes, nice home, nice toys, and anything that he wanted, he had. He lived a luxurious life. Yet, he ended up in hell. Why? Why? Second thing I noticed is this, he was a Jew. Now, how do I know that? Think about that a little bit. No one called Abraham father in those days unless you were Jew. He was a Jew. Being Jew, without a doubt, he was religious and went to church. He tithed, gave a generosity to the church project and to missions. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, he held a prominent position in the church. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, he may even taught Sunday school. Yet, he ended up in hell. I've heard of many, many testimonies over the years how that, you know, there were some preachers that pastored the church many years and realized later on that he was on the way to hell. And I hear this testimony, not just preachers, the Sunday school teachers, deacons and whatever not. That is heavily involved religiously, but yet one day they realized that, whoa, wait a minute, I am on my way to hell. Being religious, going to church, giving money does not take you to heaven. That's one of the things that I always tell people when I knock on the door. And, well, a lot of people has the idea that when you go knock on the door and say, I'm from Grace Baptist Church, automatically they're thinking that they're trying to convert, make me into Baptist, and their thoughts are, what they're thinking about me believing is that you got to be a Baptist in order to go to heaven. But I make sure that they understand that there is nowhere in the Word of God that you need to be any denomination. It is a personal experience that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the key. None. So I thought these individuals, you know, let me tell you something. In fact, there's a challenge. You show it to me in this book. Show it to me. Where does it say that? He can't. Here it is. He was a Jew. Without a doubt. Very religious. But yeah, he ended up in hell. And furthermore, you'll find that he was a generous man. Here in verse 20 and 21, you find, you know, indicates me that he was a habit of helping poor from time to time, because you see, the verse 20, you find, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, get this. If Lazarus knew that this rich man did not give to the poor, Lazarus would not have wasted his time being at the rich man's place begging. It's like anything else. It doesn't matter whether it be, you know, hunting. Would you go back to the same spot when you know you're not going to see anything, get anything? Uh-uh. You're going to go to the place that there is a likelihood you're going to get something. So, you know, without a doubt, this rich man was involved in many community work and did many good things. Yeah, he ended up in hell. You know, there are a lot of people that get involved in good works. I'm not saying that there is anything wrong with it. It's good. March of Dimes, you know, Habitat for Humanity. I don't know. I think there's something that's kind of thing that's going on for, you know, feeding the hungry, whatever. There's nothing wrong with it. But yeah, here it is. He still ended up in hell. The fourth thing I noticed is that he was a compassionate man. See, when rich man saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, he begged Abraham to send Lazarus to his five brothers to testify unto them, lest they also end up in hell. You know, you'll find verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And I realized that by that time in hell, it is too late for him. But in the midst of suffering, he had compassion. And I won't be surprised before he died if he had compassion for others. But yet, he ended up in hell. This man had everything going for him. He was rich, lived sumptuously, a Jew, religious, generous, helped the poor, compassionate, thought of others. Without a doubt, he thought everything is secure, but he was wrong, for he had false security. He was trusting in his own ability to go to heaven. He was trusting in his good works to take him to heaven. And I remember being just that way before I got saved. Every time when I did something good, in the back of my head, I put a mark on it and says, there was one more good thing that I did. Hopefully this will take me to heaven. And I'll do another good thing, and again I'll back my mind, put another mark on it and says, there's another one more good thing. And I said, hopefully this will take me to heaven. God said, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter how good you do, you're always fall short. No matter how good you do, you're always fall short. Heaven, many seem to think that as long as you're a good person, you'll go to heaven. Jesus Christ, he said otherwise in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus said, and then, while I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So here in hell, this rich man realized the mistake that he made, that is not taking heed to the word of God. And you'll find in verse 28, this rich man begs, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Repent. First of all, repent is to go exactly the opposite direction you try. It's doing 180. Or dictionary defines it as change your mind. Change your mind from doing one thing, going one direction, and to going another direction. He didn't obey or listen to what the word of God has said. He failed to repent. One sin. You see, God, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge, knew man could never attain heaven on their own. For all of the good works men do can never be equal to his, for all of our righteousness is a filthy rags. But God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Therefore, God made a provision, that is to have the Lord Jesus Christ to die upon a cross of our sin. You know, Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, so for God so loved the world that he gave the only one and only perfect sacrifice that he could ever give. That is only begotten, the Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for he hath made him, for he, God hath made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Jesus willingly took upon him all the sins of the world, past, present, future sins, and nailed to the cross by dying upon a cross. And he buried our sin forever by conquering death, rose again the third day, and he is at the right hand of God, and he liveth forevermore. See, that sin that is the sin the rich man failed to repent of is the account of what God has done to you or to for us. You see, when you trust Jesus Christ, repent of your own self-righteousness, repent of your self-sufficiency. When you trust Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you know what happens? At that instant, by repenting of that one sin, your past sin, present sin, future sins, blot it out. Amen. Blot it out. Because That is what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us upon a cross.
Yes, sir.
You know, there are so many people that get so confused and they say, oh, I got to confess my past sins, and you could never remember everything that you did. What makes it worse? What about your future sin? Can you predict that? But God can. He did just that. And Jesus Christ took it upon him and it nailed to the cross. And there's one sin that you got to repent of. Is self-sufficiency. Self-righteousness. It says, I can't do everything on my own. You can't. You can't. You see, God says that if you fail to do that, you too will end up in hell just like this rich man unless you turn to God and trust what God has done for you. Here in Luke chapter 13:3, it says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You cannot enter into heaven on your own. So therefore, God says, let me help you. He says, not by the works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and none of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, there is only one way to heaven. And Jesus made clear that Jesus, you know, he said, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is essential that you take care of that one sin. One sin. You see, John said this. John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Sin. One. I remember getting into a lot of debate, even amongst brothers, the Baptist brothers, about certain issues such as this, because, again, you know, so many people that believe that you have to repent of all your sin. It's impossible. You can't do it. You know, here in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins, plural, may be blotted out. When you trust Jesus Christ, that's what happens.
Amen.
Getting rid of one sin blots out all the sins you have.
Right.
Sure. Gone. See, another thing that takes place is in the instant you trust Jesus Christ, God puts on you his righteousness, and he no longer sees your filthiness, but God sees his righteousness, and you have home in heaven.
Praise God.
That is a promise. So my question comes to you this morning is this. Are you trusting in yourself just like this rich man to come to take you to heaven? You know what God says in Acts 8:22? He says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness. God calls that a wickedness. To think that you're going to go to heaven on your own. And furthermore, the God says, Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it says, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at the hand. Repent ye, believe the gospel. There it is. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You know, man does not have problem with death. Do you realize that? There are so many people who are so afraid of dying that they'll go to the length to figure out a way to live as if they're going to live forever. Well, I'm here to tell you, that is not your problem. Sin is. If you take care of the problem, that sin, you'll never have to worry about dying because you're going to go to heaven. Because I remember the day that, I don't know how many of you, when you were 17, 18, 19, almost right up until when I got saved, I used to worry about dying. I did. And there was such an empty feeling in myself that I couldn't explain it away. And in part, I was somewhat suicidal to a degree. Because, man, you hear this often by the world, that says that the only way to get away, only way to not to have pain is to die. I used to hear that quite a bit. I mean, that's the philosophy that the world, teaches and spreads. That's why there's a lots of people that's out there that commit suicide to get away from the tribulation, whatever may be the pain that they're going through. Well, let me tell you something. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a big lie. All I can say is, I'm glad I got saved. Because today, since I got saved, I never, ever doubted my salvation. Since I got saved, I never, ever had another desire to kill myself, take my own life. Now, don't get me wrong. I look forward to going to heaven, going home. That's my home. I do look forward to it. But I never have an inclination that says, well, I'm going to do this or whatever it may be to eliminate. No. I never have that desire. Not again. Ever since. That's not proper. So you do not have a problem with death. The problem you have is sin. If you take care of the problem that you have, the sin problem, not accepting, not trusting what God has done for you, then if you don't take care of that, then yes, you will end up in hell. Because that one sin. And God says, repent. Repent of that one sin and believe the gospel. See, gospel is death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus died upon a cross for our sin and paid the sin debt. Was buried. By conquering death, rose again from the dead on the third day and sits upon the right hand of God. And he liveth forever. You see, all you need to do is believe it from your heart. From your heart. And accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but in thereof are the ways of death. I'm going to get done early tonight, this morning. And the preacher is going to get upset. But nevertheless, look, people, I don't know why the God would have me to preach this morning. Perhaps there's someone here this morning that has never ever done that in their life. Or may think that they have done it. I encourage strongly that you do so. Let's pray. I wonder how many of you this morning with uplifted hand and say, Brother June, I know I'm saved. Beyond a shadow of doubt, I know that I'm saved. How many of you could say with uplifted hand and said, I am saved. I am saved. All right. Put your hand up. Now, my next question is, it's obvious that if you couldn't lift your hand this morning to saying, I am saved, 100% sure, then I wonder how many of you say, with the uplifted hand and say, Brother June, I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. With uplifted hand. Is there anyone like that? Anyone? All right. And my invitation is this morning. We're going to stand to our feet. As simple as this. Has God spoke to you this morning? Then if he did, then do business with God. Either you come forward or kneel at your wherever you are and do business with God. Let's stand.